And you just wrote a review article looking at amenorrhea in premenopausal patients with adjuvant chemo. Were there any sort of points in there that you thought were particularly important for oncologists to be aware of, new things that came out, for example? And I guess one of the things I wondered about was the implications of this whole scenario in terms of AIs and ovarian function and chemo, which is such a critical issue with the AIs.
In reviewing it, and we reviewed many, many studies, the studies that have come out more recently with a larger number of patients, and when they are subsetted to only include those patients who have ER-positive disease, and it looks like those patients who developed chemotherapy-induced amenorrhea had a better disease-free survival. I think that that's going to be what we're going to see. And in B30, we're asking that question, too, prospectively, so we'll have more data on that. In my practice, based on all I've done and reviewed, I actually have been ablating patients with an LHRH agonist if they're young and they have high risk. I know that there's no data on this whatsoever. There are three trials trying to answer this question, but I'm very concerned that the amenorrhea is very important, or the stopping ovarian function is very important. Now, you asked about it in relationship to using AIs. If I have a patient, let's say a 40-year-old patient who I give TAC chemotherapy to, she becomes amenorrheic, which most will, with that chemotherapy, probably 90% or so, would I then give that patient an AI? I would not. I think that there are many reasons not to. One, just because a patient has amenorrhea doesn't mean they don't have circulating estrogens and having some ovarian function. And a recent article in the last year, I think it was by Smith, actually looked at, I think it was 25 premenopausal women that had developed amenorrhea and then were given an AI. And many of those women ended up either having menses returning on an AI, one got pregnant, and then I think one had biochemical measurements that indicated she was still premenopausal. And I, in my own practice, I've had at least two patients in the last few years who were late 40s, early 50s, who became amenorrheic with chemotherapy, and then their period started again 2 years later. So I absolutely would not give an AI to a patient who has stopped menstruating after chemotherapy, unless the only situation I would do it, unless I gave them also an LHRH agonist.
What about if they remain amenorrheic and biochemically postmenopausal for a couple years?
Probably for 2 or 3 years, then I would consider it.
You'd switch from tamoxifen to an AI?
Actually, if they were younger, if they were in their 30s or 40s, I would probably continue the tamoxifen for 5 years and then switch. We know that the estrogen production fluctuates over several years. So I think it's risky, and you may not get the benefit of the AI that you want if you've got these fluctuating estrogen levels.
So in what situations do you raise the issue or actually go ahead and recommend an LHRH agonist? You mentioned high risk. How high does the risk have to be?
Node positive.